number one tonight. And I just want to talk about the King of Glory. I was hoping we'd be through with chapter number one tonight, but he's just too much there. Huh? He's just too much there. Boy, he's been good. The King of Glory. You know what, John, he was on the Isle of Patmos, and that's what we're fixing to go over tonight, what he's seen. You know, Detroit terms, don't give it to you this way. Boys, y'all, we ain't seen nothing yet. If you've been saved 50 years, you've just seen a glimpse of what he can, you ain't seen nothing yet. John said, boys, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And something, I'm telling you, I seen something just blow my mind. The King of Glory, Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 9, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. Revelation 1, verse number 9, the Bible says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and was thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and to Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet, y'all know who I'm talking about, don't you? Huh? Y'all know who John's talking about, don't you? He's talking about Jesus. He said, I turned around to see whose his voice was. That sounded like a trumpet. Man, it was so loud, it disturbed me. Can I say when God talks to you, it'll disturb you? And his feet like unto fine brass, as they had been burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead. And he laid his right hand upon me. Thank God for his right hand. Saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And he said, I'm not going to stop there, boys. But I have the keys. Boy, I thank God, Brother Matt, Sunday night, spoke about the door, but faith is the key. He said, I have the keys of hell and of death. Our Father and our God, I thank you for the King of Glory. I thank you for your Son, Jesus. I thank you for the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. I thank you for the empty tomb that he borrowed for 3 days. And on that third day, victorious, he rose from that grave. And Father, I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I praise you tonight. I thank you for what you do in this place every time we come. Lord, I pray for that one in here tonight that they leave with encouragement in their life tonight. I pray they leave out of here with a pep in their step. I pray they leave out of here not thinking about nothing but the King of Glory. Father, I love you. I thank you. I ask you to guard my throat, guard my thoughts, be with all the prayer requests tonight, be with everyone that is sick, everyone that has the flu, everyone that has the COVID, Lord God, heal their bodies. Lord God, tonight, the ones that's got cancer, Lord, I pray you reach down tonight. The young gentleman that just left, that had a broke back, Lord, I pray tonight, Father, you heal him. Lord God, I pray right now as he's riding down life's highway, I pray you remove all that pain. I pray you give him a peaceful night tonight. Father, I love you and thank you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. The King of Glory. The King of Glory tonight. As we come, we see that John was on the Isle of Patmos. He had got separated out. He had got isolated out on this island there, on this isle. And he was out there because he was on that isle because, in verse number 9, of two things that he had done. And one was, because of the Word of God, he had got isolated out. He had got put out there. Can I say to you, when you stand on the Word of God, you're going to be isolated. isolated. You're going to be put out on an island all by yourself, especially in the world we live in today. Hey, you start talking about Jesus and lifting up the name of Jesus Christ, you're going to be out all on your own. Hey, but not only that, but also for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He gave the testimony of what God can do. It's amazing what a child of God can experience while in tribulation or in persecution. John witnessed the King of Glory in a special way. You know, when he got put out on this aisle and he was all out there, all by himself there, you know what? The Spirit of God came to him. There's been times in this local body I've been in here and the Spirit of God just moved in a mighty way. I'm talking about it move up and down the aisles and all around, but I want you to know tonight this ain't the only place he moves. There's been times in my life I've been in my truck going down the road all by myself, isolated out, riding down the road, talking to God, and he just right there in that truck, be just as real as ever. I'm talking about have a Holy Ghost fit right there. You say, preacher, how can he meet you there? How can he meet you at the end of your bed? How can he meet you in your study? How can he meet you out there where there nobody is? How can he meet you in the deer stand? How can you meet in all these places? John said, I want to tell you how he can do that, because he's the King of Glory. Amen. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And tonight I want to show you a few things that he said about this King of Glory. Number one tonight, John said, he is a faithful King of Glory. Amen. He is faithful in what he does. Look with me in verse number 5 of Revelation chapter number 1, and here's what John said, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. He said he is the faithful witness tonight, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. He says tonight that the King of Glory tonight, when you know him, you've got something good in your life. Tonight, number 1, he said he is the faithful King of Glory because, number 1, he overcame death. Hey, what was supposed to kill him? He overcame it. He overcame death. He overcame sin. Look what he said there. And the first begotten of the dead, he overcame death, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I see tonight he's faithful because he overcame death. He overcame sin. Ain't you glad of that tonight? He's overcame death. He's overcame sin. And he has overcame Satan. There's nothing Satan can throw at you tonight that God can't take care of. And I thank God for that tonight. That my God is bigger than Satan. Amen. I don't want to give old Satan not one bit of credit tonight. He's not worthy credit. He's not worth credit. He's not worth being talked about. His name ain't worth being brought up. I want you to know tonight, if you want to bring up a name, woo, glory, bring up the name of Jesus. Amen. He overcame death. He overcame sin. He overcame Satan in the book tonight. And as we read it tonight, we see that. Can I say to you tonight, I'll give you a few things about this faithful King of Glory. The first time he came and a star showed his arrival. You remember that beautiful star of Bethlehem? It showed his arrival. It showed where he was. It pointed him to where Jesus was. The first time he came, a star showed his arrival. The next time he comes, the sky will split open. Amen. He won't need no star the next time because he is the star. Amen. He is faithful in who he is. I see, first of all, when he came that way. But also this, the first time he came, only a few was at his arrival. It was just a few people there in that town. But the next time he comes, every eye shall see him when he busts that eastern sky. Friends, tonight I want you to know he is a faithful witness. When he shows up, people knows. Amen. Hey, he's an eyewitness. He's a faithful witness. You don't have to worry about him tonight. He is the King of Glory, and he is the one John said is the faithful witness. He is faithful in our lives. But I want to give you this tonight. Not only is he a faithful King of Glory, but number 2, in verse number 11, of the text, I want to show you this. He is forever King of Glory. Not only is a faithful King of Glory, but he is forever King of Glory. He cannot lose his title. He can't lose his reign. He can't lose his position. He can't lose nothing tonight because he is the King of Glory. Look with me in verse number 11 tonight, and here is where he is forever the King of Glory. He said it himself that he is the King of Glory. You know what tonight? There's a lot of people that considers themselves worth a lot. You watch the news and you watch TV, and there's a lot of people think that they are the Alpha and the Omega. But can I say to you tonight, there's only one Alpha and there's only one Omega, and his name is God Almighty, Jesus Christ tonight. Look what he says in verse number 11. He is forever King of Glory. Look what he says, saying this. He said, I heard on the Lord's day behind me a great voice in verse number 10 as of a trumpet. Can you imagine standing there and you're just at church and somebody walks up behind you, Brother David Barnes, like right now, Brother Les, I got out of here. his pocket right now a big old trumpet and you didn't know he was behind you, and all of a sudden he led into that thing, Mark, what would you do, man? It'd scare you to death. Friends, I want you to know tonight, hey, when John was standing there, he come up behind him and his voice was like a trumpet when it came forth. It sounded forth praise. It sounded forth glory. It sounded forth who he was. But he says tonight in verse number 11, he said, as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and I am the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Unto Ephesus, and he gives the whole list of churches there, who he wanted to send to. Tonight you say, what does that do in my life, knowing that he's the King of glory? Can I say to you, number one tonight, it'll produce confidence in your life. To know that he's king of your life and you're not will bring confidence in a believer's life. The Bible says tonight, if you want to write this down or turn with me there in Philippians chapter number 1 tonight, in verse number 6, this is what the Bible says. He is the King of glory, and that produces confidence in our life. Tonight, there's not a lot of folk got a lot of confidence in a lot of things. But there's one thing I got confidence in, and that is Jesus Christ and what he has done in my life and how he has saved me and how he has sealed me and how he has preserved me for one day that I'm going to meet him and I'm going to reign with him in the glory world. Amen? I'm confident in that tonight. Glory. Look with me in Philippians 1:6. Here's what he said. It produces confidence. And here's what Paul said. Being confident of this very thing. He said, there's something that I'm confident in tonight. I'm confident that he is faithful, but I'm confident that he is forever and he has got me in his hands. Look what he says. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He's not going to let up. He's not going to get out. He's not going to back out. He's not going to let down on his end of the deal. He is going to stick you. He's going to stay with you the rest of your life. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He says tonight that it produces confidence in a person's life. I want to give you this tonight, what it does tonight. Not only does it produce confidence, but it provides a cure, knowing that he is the Alpha and he is the Omega. Not only when we read in this text that it produced confidence, but we also see that it produces a care. And look what he says tonight, that it's a cure in our life. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me in verse 12. And being turned, I saw the seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. I want you to know tonight, when you get Jesus Christ in your life, the King of glory, it'll bring confidence, but it'll bring a cure to your life tonight. It takes care of that sin nature that you have in your life tonight. I want to give you this. King Jesus, I want to give you Genesis, and I want to give you Revelation. Tonight, if you are taking notes on the book of Revelation tonight, I want to tell you what happened in Genesis. I want to tell you what it took care of in Revelation. In Genesis, we see there was a curse. You go back and read your Bible, there was a curse in the garden. There was a curse there. But when you get to Revelation at the end of the book, there's no curse. To the one that's been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, there's no curse. In Genesis, there was sorrow. You read in your book, there was sorrow through the book of Genesis, all the way till you get to the book of Revelation. When you get to the end of Revelation, there is no sorrow. He's going to wipe them tears away. There'll be no sorrow over there. That's a cure tonight, amen? I don't know about you, but there's people that are hurting and tears flowing down their face. I get tired of going to hospitals and places where people that are dying, and you see family members sitting there loving them, and tears flowing down their face. I can't wait till a day they won't be none of that. Amen? There'll be no more of that. There was sorrow in the garden, but there'll be no sorrow in heaven. Can I say to you in Genesis, if you go back to the book of Genesis, there was pain. There was pain through the book of Genesis. Can I say to you in heaven, there'll be no pain. The book of Revelation, all pain's gone. At the end of the book, when you read it, all the pain's gone. There'll be no pain in heaven because you won't have this body in heaven. You'll have a glorified body when you get there. Can I say to you tonight, not only was there no there's pain in Genesis, no pain in Revelation. In Genesis, we was kept from the tree of life. In the book of Genesis, you was kept from the tree of life. In Revelation, you have access to the tree of life. I'm so thankful that what God starts, he finishes. What he starts, he finishes. So tonight, the King of glory, number one, he's a faithful king. Number two, he is forever king. He produces confidence, and he's provided you with a cure tonight. And here's where I want to bring the third thing tonight, and I want to slow down and so you get this tonight. And here's where I want to go to in verse number 17. not only tonight, as we see in this text and we read tonight, that he is a faithful King of glory, and not only is he forever King, but John said this, and this is my peanut brain. He said, boys, he's flat out King. He said, there ain't nobody like him. He said, there ain't nobody like him. I've been around a lot of good apostles, and I've been around a lot of good friends, and I've been around a lot of good men of God, and I've been around, and I have too. In this place, I know a lot of good men of God and good women of God. I know a lot of good folks in here. I'm talking about spirituals lined up with the Word of God, but they ain't nothing like Jesus. They're trying to get like him. They're trying to be like him. But listen to me, they ain't nothing like Jesus. You ever had somebody come up to you and speak something in your ear, and you say, oh, that ain't right? You ever had somebody come up to you and say something, but you ever had the Holy Ghost speak to your heart, and you say, oh, that's right? You ever had the Holy Ghost just speak right to your heart and tell you something, and you say, oh, that's right. I know that's right. Why? Because there ain't nobody like him. There ain't nobody like Jesus. And John said here, he said, boys, there ain't nobody like him. I'm telling you, I've looked all around. I've been up and down, high and low, all the way around, and there ain't nobody like him. He said, I'm going to tell you why there ain't nobody like him, because I lay my life down for him. That's how much I believe in him, that he is the King of glory, that he is who he says he is. Look with me tonight in this verse tonight. I want to show you where he's just flat out King of glory. Nobody else can do this. Nobody else can mimic this. And look what he says in verse 17. He said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He said, I've been around a lot of people, but ain't nobody ever made me just fall down. When you got born again and you met Jesus Christ, you may not have fell down. You may not have been in that position, but listen to me. Spiritually, you had to fall. Spiritually, you had to realize that you was a sinner in need of a Savior. Well, I didn't have to realize I was a sinner. Well, you're still lost. If a man don't know he's lost, how can he be saved? If a woman don't know she's been lost, how do you know she's been saved? You got to know you was lost to know you need a Savior. John said, when I come to this man, I fell down at his feet. I fell down. Why? Because that's what that Spirit does in our life. Let me show you this tonight in the book. He says there's no denying who he is. He said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and I am the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. I want to go back right here, and I want to show you what he's seen when he's seen this King of glory. What he's seen when he's seen this King of glory. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 13. He said, and the first thing he's seen is this, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. He said, I seen one. He said, he was clothed like the Son of Man. He said, I seen him. Number two, get this. He said this. He's not only was he clothed like the Son of Man, but he was clothed with a garment down to his feet. Tonight, can I say to you that clothed with that garment down to his feet is the clothing of a high priest. It's what a high priest would wear. John said, I seen my high priest. I have no need of going to the Pope. I have no need of going to somebody else to pray for me. I have direct access, direct all the way the line straight to heaven because who my high priest is. If you'll turn with me tonight to Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 14 tonight, I want to show you this in the Word of God tonight, talking about the high priest and that he was clothed with his garment down to his feet. And that's what Jesus, when John seen him, he seen the glory. He seen who God was, and it was clothed all the way down to his feet. And Hebrews 4:14 is what the Bible says tonight. Look at this tonight. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 14. He says, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. He said, this high priest that I'm telling you about tonight, the one that just flat out, I'm telling you this is who he is. He, when I seen him, I seen my high priest. He says, and I seen then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. He said, that's who I seen. And there ain't nobody like him. He said, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our professions. Not only was he clothed like the Son of Man, not only was he clothed with garments down to his feet. In verse number 4, that's what they wore. They wore that girdle down. They wore that girdle down. Any other man, he didn't wear a girdle. He didn't wear that. He just wore his attire, but with no girdle. Jesus Christ wore that girdle. He wore what we want in our life. He is our high priest. He is who we need tonight. Do you know how many people rely on somebody else to pray for them? They say, preacher, or they call on somebody. They say, will you pray for me? And that's as far as they take it. They don't take it on to God. They don't take it on through the blood of Jesus. They don't take it on through the Spirit of God. Tonight, don't you rely on anybody to pray for you. You make sure you're praying for yourself. Don't you rely on somebody else to pray for it. Why? Because we're human. We'll forget. Right? If you've got a need tonight that needs to be met, you go to Him. You take it straight to Him, because if you're saved tonight, Jesus Christ is your high priest. You say, well, I ain't a good prayer. You ain't got to be good to pray. I don't know what to say. You ain't got to know what to say. I don't know all about it. You ain't got to know anything about it. If you're saved, all you got to do is open your mouth. You ain't got to do that. But let me tell you this tonight. I like opening my mouth because I want my mind to know what my heart's thinking. Anytime anybody gets born again and I'm at the altar with them and they're there and I say, and I'll make sure that they ask Jesus Christ to come into their life audibly. Audibly. Why? Because there's more than just Jesus Christ at that altar. I guarantee you, when you come to that place to get born again, wherever that is in your life, oh, Satan's right there at your doorstep, son. He needs to hear what you're saying. He needs to hear. He needs to know exactly what you're rebuking in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me, make me new. Have you ever just been in a place in your life and you know you're plugged in? You're plugged in. You ever been by yourself plugged in? Sister Cynthia, hey, I know what you're talking about. And you just have a fit. Yeah, that fit you have ain't quiet. You're plugged in. You're talking to God. You're talking to through your high priest. And you're talking to Him and you're just letting it roll. You're just telling God what you need. And there's a song right now, Brandon Lake's guy, that said, oh, so don't get quiet on me now. Why? Because we need to speak what we want God to answer. Speak that thing out there. Let God understand what you got going on. Let God know. You know what? A person that stays quiet all the time, that's not good. That's not good. John said, what I saw, boys, blew my mind. He said, not only did he have a girdle on, but let me show you this tonight. That was in Leviticus 16:4, but let me show you this tonight. He said, not only was he girded down with a high priest wire, but look what he said here. He said, his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, as of ancient days. Daniel said the same thing about the Lord of ancient days. You know what that white hair, that's wisdom. That's what we need tonight. But let me show you this tonight as we get on down through here. And not deny, he's flat out king. John said, I seen this when I seen him. He said, not only his head and his hair white like wool, but his eyes, look what he said about his eyes. But his eyes. Sister Savannah, what's the first thing they said about your baby? He got eyes like who? Somebody. She. What does people do when they look at it? When they look at somebody? When you look at somebody, where do you look at them at? Their eyes. If you want to know what somebody's thinking, what do you want to look at? Their eyes. If I really got to know something from somebody, I'm not going to text, I'm not going to call, I'm going to go to them because I want to see their eyes. Eyes tell it all. My mama, when I would lie to her, I said, how do you know? She said, your eyes gave it away. I said, how do you know? Because you wouldn't look me in the eye. Why? Because when you look something, man, I ain't talking to nobody tonight. When you are talking to somebody, them eyes tell it all. Them eyes give it away. My wife during Christmas, when I got her something bought and she wants to know what it is, I said, don't you be looking at me in the eyes. Don't you be looking. Why? Because the eyes tell. And look what he said here about the eyes of our Lord and Savior. Have you ever looked into the eyes of Jesus? Man, I'm talking, whoa, man, this is just, Look what he said here. He said this about his eyes. Look what he said. And he said, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. That flame of fire reveals his anger when we are not doing what we are supposed to do. And he is fixing to tell that in chapter 2 and chapter 3 to the seven churches. When the Lord come talking to John, he was coming, he could take care of business. And his eyes were as flame of fire. But let me give you this as we're going down through here. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace. That brass speaks of judgment. Brass speaks of judgment. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter number 5 and verse number 22 tonight. And I want to show you this tonight before we move on in Revelation. I want to show you this tonight. John chapter number 5 and verse number 22, that his feet were as brass. So what was that brass? What did that mean tonight, that his feet was as brass? Did that give any significance tonight? It speaks of judgment. John chapter number 5 and verse number 22. It's very important to know this. For the Father judgeth no man. Father don't judge no man, but had committed all judgment unto the Son. Why was his feet as brass? Because he's the one's coming to judge. I give you this tonight. His voice, not only was his feet like brass, but his voice like many waters. I wrote this down. Men might not listen today, but one day they will. Then let's get here. It not only was his voice like many waters, but in his right hand, he had seven stars in his right hand. He had seven stars in his right hand. You say, what are them seven stars? Them seven stars, if you look back in verse number 20, it says of this text, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand. God told him, said, you want to know what them are? I'm fixing to tell you what they are. He said, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand are the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. He said, that is what they are. The angels are the messengers. He said that out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. Who is this? Flat out, nobody but Jesus. You can't mistake it. Can I say to you, when Jesus comes into your life, you can't mistake it. When Jesus is moving on your life, you can't mistake it because he's the King of glory. But he didn't stop there. He said, I want you to know this about him, though, one last thing before we close tonight because they're ready to come in. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. His countenance was as the sun. And John said, when I seen him, I fell as a dead man. He said, I fell as a dead man. Brothers and sisters, we're going to be blown away when we see the King of glory. I'll leave you with this. Are you prepared to see the King of glory? You say, what's going to prepare me? Being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, you harp on the blood all the time because the blood's the only way. It's through the blood. It's through the blood. It's through the blood. The blood will not lie. It always tells the truth. Whatever's going on in your body, what do they pull? Blood. When you have a sickness, what do they look in? Blood. Blood does not lie. It always tells the truth. It'll tell what goes on in a person's life. He said, I want you to know he's faithful. He's the faithful King of glory. He's forever King of glory. It's unsettled. And John said, boys, he's just flat out King of glory. He said, I can't say much more about him. All I know is who he is. Tonight, can I say to you, there ain't much more I can say about him. I just know who he is, what he's done in my life, how he saved me from the devil's hell. This afternoon, I got to go to Coach Byers' daddy's visitation. Not knowing, a couple weeks ago, we got some Gideon Bibles given. I called Brother Byers up, and I said, hey, we're going to be doing a thing at church, and I need some Bibles. You got any? Can I buy them? He said, you can't buy them, son. He said, "We it don't work that way. I said, well, what can I do? He said, how many you need? I said, I need 160. He said, I got 160. Where you want to meet at? I told him, I said, you want to meet in Vernon? He said, let's meet in Vernon. Met up with him. Man, looked healthy as a hog, like nothing was going on. Man, we cut up, had a good time. Playoffs was going on in football. And I told him, I said, we're going to be giving some more gifts, and we're going to give a Bible, too. And he said something to me right then. He said, well, I'm going to tell you, I don't know what kind of gift you're giving, but right there is the greatest gift. Right there is the greatest gift. Folks, tonight, you know what John said? He said, I don't know a lot, but the greatest gift you can have in your life is Jesus Christ. He is the King of glory, and he's coming back one day. My prayer is this, that we be ready as a church in what God has called us to do. That we be ready. Let us pray. Father, I love you, and I thank you for this night. Father, I thank you for all the kids out in the hallway right now that's having a good time. Lord, I thank you tonight that Jesus is the King of glory. Lord, I thank you that that's the way you set it up tonight, Father. Lord, you sent King Jesus. He's not only the judge, but he's the King. And Lord, I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that you move in a mighty way on all of us this week. Lord, be with the ones that are hurting, the ones that are sick. Lord, be with the Spirit on this church, Lord God. Lord, revive our spirit in a mighty way. Lord, help us in a mighty way. Let us get back to doing what we used to do, Father. Let us get back to loving you the way you've called us to, Father. Let us not get caught up in work, but let us get caught up in worship. Lord, I pray tonight we just find that in our life tonight. Lord, we can just look at it and say, oh, he is the King of glory. Lord, if there's somebody in here tonight that don't know you as their king, Lord, I pray tonight be the night that they make you their king. Father, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name. All of God's people say, amen.